Again, welcome to the Interactive Church. The topic of the readings for this meeting is Born Again. I shall be reading selected passages from the King James Version of the Bible and from Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy, the discoverer and founder of Christian Science. Beginning in the Bible with the Gospel of John. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Psalms. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Luke. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out a fame of him through all the region round about. He went into a city called Nain, and many of his disciples went with him, and much people. And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him, weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself, saying, This man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus, answering, said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he saith, Master, say on. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence, and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most? Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, Thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, Seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, Thy sins are forgiven. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, Who is this that forgiveth sins also? And he said to the woman, Thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace. Isaiah. The redeemed of the Lord shall return and come with singing unto Zion, and everlasting joy shall be upon their head. They shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and mourning shall flee away. 1 Peter. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. I shall also read correlative and explanatory passages from the Christian Science textbook, Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures, by Mary Baker Eddy. It is related in the 7th chapter of Luke's Gospel that Jesus was once the honored guest of a certain Pharisee by name Simon, though he was quite unlike Simon the disciple. While they were at meat, an unusual incident occurred, as if to interrupt the scene of Oriental festivity. A strange woman came in. Did Jesus spurn the woman? Did he repel her adoration? No. He regarded her compassionately. Nor was this all. Knowing what those around him were saying in their hearts, especially his host, that they were wondering why, being a prophet, the exalted guest did not at once detect the woman's immoral status and bid her depart. Knowing this, Jesus rebuked them with a short story or parable. He described two debtors, one for a large sum and one for a smaller, who were released from their obligations by their common creditor. Which of them will love him most? Was the master's question to Simon the Pharisee. And Simon replied, he to whom he forgave most. Jesus approved the answer and so brought home the lesson to all, following it with that remarkable declaration to the woman, "Thy sins are forgiven." Why did he thus summarize her debt to divine love? Had she repented and reformed? And did his insight detect this unspoken moral uprising? She bathed his feet with her tears before she anointed them with the oil. In the absence of other proofs, was her grief sufficient evidence to warrant the expectation of her repentance, reformation, and growth in wisdom? Certainly there was encouragement in the mere fact that she was showing her affection for a man of undoubted goodness and purity, who has since been rightfully regarded as the best man that ever trod this planet. Her reverence was unfeigned, and it was manifested towards one who was soon, though they knew it not, to lay down his mortal existence in behalf of all sinners, that through his word and works they might be redeemed from sensuality and sin. Jesus was the way, that is, he marked the way for all men, explaining and demonstrating the way of divine science. He became the way of salvation to all who accepted his word. From him, mortals may learn how to escape from evil. When the sick or the sinning awake to realize their need of what they have not, they will be receptive of divine science, which gravitates towards soul and away from material sense, removes thought from the body, and elevates even mortal mind to the contemplation of something better than disease or sin. We never need to despair of an honest heart, but there is little hope for those who come only spasmodically face to face with their wickedness and then seek to hide it. Their prayers are indices which do not correspond with their character. They hold secret fellowship with sin, and such externals are spoken of by Jesus as like unto whited sepulchres, full of all uncleanness. If a man, though apparently fervent and prayerful, is impure and therefore insincere, what must be the comment upon him? If he reached the loftiness of his prayer, there would be no occasion for comment. If we feel the aspiration, humility, gratitude, and love which our words express, this God accepts, and it is wise not to try to deceive ourselves or others, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed. Vibrating like a pendulum between sin and the hope of forgiveness, selfishness and sensuality causing constant retrogression, our moral progress will be slow. Waking to Christ's demand, mortals experience suffering. This causes them, even as drowning men, to make vigorous efforts to save themselves. And through Christ, precious love, these efforts are crowned with success. Earth has little light or joy for mortals before life is spiritually learned. Every agony of mortal error helps error to destroy error, and so aids the apprehension of immortal truth. This is the new birth going on hourly, by which men may entertain angels, the true ideas of God, the spiritual sense of being. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, says the apostle. And he straightway adds, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Philippians 2:12-13. Truth has furnished the key to the kingdom. And with this key, Christian Science has opened the door of the human understanding. Through the wholesome chastisements of love, we are helped onward in the march towards righteousness, peace, and purity, which are the landmarks of science. Beholding the infinite tasks of truth, we pause, wait on God. Then we push onward until boundless thought walks enraptured, and conception unconfined is winged to reach the divine glory. One's aim, a point beyond faith, should be to find the footsteps of truth, the way to health and holiness. We should strive to reach the Horeb height where God is revealed, and the cornerstone of all spiritual building is purity. The baptism of spirit, washing the body of all the impurities of flesh, signifies that the pure in heart see God and are approaching spiritual life and its demonstration. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for sinful beliefs to enter the kingdom of heaven, eternal harmony. Through repentance, spiritual baptism, and regeneration, mortals put off their material beliefs and false individuality. Our baptism is a purification from all error. Our church is built on the divine principle, love. We can unite with this church only as we are newborn of spirit, as we reach the life which is truth and the truth which is life by bringing forth the fruits of love, casting out error, and healing the sick. If men would bring to bear upon the study of the science of mind half the faith they bestow upon the so-called pains and pleasures of material sense, they would not go on from bad to worse until disciplined by the prison and the scaffold. But the whole human family would be redeemed through the merits of Christ, through the perception and acceptance of truth. For this glorious result, Christian Science lights the torch of spiritual understanding. As a material, theoretical life basis is found to be a misapprehension of existence, the spiritual and divine principle of man dawns upon human thought and leads it to where the young child was, even to the birth of a new old idea, to the spiritual sense of being and of what life includes. Thus, the whole earth will be transformed by truth on its pinions of light, chasing away the darkness of error. This concludes the readings for this afternoon.